This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, Episode 2. Today we're going to introduce one of the hosts, Chris Johnson. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Connell.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Who are you? Let's hear a little bit about you. What's your name? I don't even know who you are.
I was just hoping to stay anonymous out of all this. I don't know. You know.
You sound funny. No, who's that funny guy on the show?
My name's Chris Johnson. And you're right. I do kind of sound a little funny. I guess it depends where you come from. I'm from New Zealand. I was sort of born there and grew up most of my life there. I spent a bit of time in Papua New Guinea as a kid, and I've traveled a bunch, lived in the UK a little bit, but I've lived in the States since 2007. That's why I sound a little funny. I've had all sorts of interesting conversations with people here about where I'm from, and it's really funny trying to have people guess, and the suggestions they come up with are just hilarious. So it's pretty funny. But you know, hey, I don't understand where all of the intricacies of all the various accents from the United States are from. So I don't expect them to either. It's just funny asking.
Are you from Idaho?
I often will say I'm from Wellington, and then NZ or NZ, and they're like, I don't know that state.
Is that one of those square states in the middle of the country?
Yeah. It's one of those real outlying states. So, NZ, that's where I'm from.
Oh, it's right next to Puerto Rico. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Just down there.
Yeah. How do people get in touch with you? Like, what's your presence, I guess, or where are you online?
Yeah, so people can get in touch with me on Twitter. I'm LoungeflyZ or LoungeflyZ. That's probably the easiest way to get in touch. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. There are a lot of Chris Johnsons, so you might sort of have to augment your search with SharePoint or something like that to find me on LinkedIn. And then I also blog at looselytyped.net, so you'll find me online there.
There are a bunch of Chris Johnsons. When I did a bunch of work with Microsoft, and when you were still at Microsoft, which we'll get into in a second, but there were five Chris Johnsons at Microsoft, or three or four or something?
There were seven direct Chris Johnsons, either Chris or Christopher, right. Or Christine. There were seven of us.
I think five of them got emails from me about projects they didn't have a clue what was going on. And then...
It is... We actually got so bad at one point that we started a Chris Johnson's at Microsoft distribution list, and we put everybody on it, and we had Chris, you know, we had Christopher Johnson, we had Christoph Johnson, we had Chris and Christine, and all of these people that could have been confused for one another, and we all got on this DL, and so whenever email or physical packages would show up that we had no idea who they were for, we just sort of send email out to this distribution list. I got a real funny story about how the DL started for another time, to do with physical packages, pornography at work, and those sorts of things. But I'll get into that another time. It's a really, really funny story.
I guess that's how we keep a listener base, is by saying, hey, the porn's coming.
Yeah. It was pretty hilarious, and I'll have to recount it at some point. But it got pretty tricky when you know, you get stuff sent to work, and there's a lot of Chris Johnsons that it could have been delivered to, and needless to say, hilarity ensued.
That's good. So, how did you get involved in SharePoint?
So I used to live in London in the year 2000 and 2001. And when I moved back to New Zealand, I actually went back to New Zealand on holiday to visit my parents and family and things. And while I was there, I interviewed with Microsoft New Zealand, and And I went back to London after the interviews, and they gave me a call up, and they were like, cool, we want you to join. And so I made the call to move back to New Zealand at that point, and sort of packed up my life in London and trekked back to New Zealand via Russia, Mongolia, China, and Hong Kong. I took a train basically from London to Hong Kong. I was sick of flying, and so ended up back in New Zealand working for Microsoft. And that was where I was first exposed to that same Microsoft Content Management Server technology you mentioned earlier on. And you know, but thinking back on it, that's when I first really got into SharePoint. Was when I started working with Content Management Server and went through that whole, like, cool, we've got Content Management Server that's great for building websites, we've got SharePoint that's great for collaboration, but, you know, to your point, the first thing they ask for is, how do we jam them together and build, like, a really totally smoking intranet with collab and web publishing features and things? And so I went through and lived that whole pain and suffering. Yeah. You did too. But sort of thinking back, probably the very first time I remember doing anything with SharePoint or before it was even called SharePoint was back when the digital dashboard came out. And I remember getting a CD at the time. This is when, you know, there weren't USB sticks.
Man, you're old.
Everybody can stop laughing at me. Yeah, shut up.
Did they ship it on vinyl too?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I had to crank it to make the CD turn. And I got a CD put on my desk for this thing called Digital Dashboard. And they were like, my boss at the time was like, you should check this out. I've got no idea what it is, but it just came from Microsoft and we should learn, we should figure out what that is. So I looked at it and I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting. And that was the real, I think looking right back, that was when I first saw anything that eventually became SharePoint. But when I really got stuck into it was with Content Management Server. And SharePoint, I think it was 2001 at the time or something along those lines, and trying to jam them together. And did some website work, working for Microsoft with Content Management Server predominantly in New Zealand, and then slowly got into more and more SharePoint, started jamming them together. And then over time I ended up working for a team called the SharePoint Ranger team, which was a team sort of spread across the world. There were about five or seven of us, I think, at the time, with folks like Steve Peschke. People might know that name, and he was on the team. And so we'd go and work with customers, like high-profile customers that were in trouble with deployments, and go help them out. And so although I was based in New Zealand, I was doing work for companies in India and all around the Southeast Asia area as well. But the team that funded that was Microsoft in the US, and Arpan's team, Arpan Shah, on the SharePoint team. And so that really got me thinking about moving to the States. And so in 2007, I got married in February. And then in May, I moved up to the States, or we moved up to the States.
Got married, left her behind.
Where I joined. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was all pretty quick succession of everything happening, so sometimes I get stuff out of order. But we moved up to the States May 2007, and I joined the SharePoint engineering team at the time. We were just... I think I came on about 4 weeks before coding started for what became SharePoint 2010. So it was, we were in planning, we were doing speccing and things, and I joined the WSS team. In fact, the application platform, App Plat team, as we called it. And so that's really where, you know, my main thrust of my SharePoint career came from, is when I joined Microsoft in the US, and got involved with building the product and that sort of thing. And that's kind of around the time I think we met, was when I was involved.
There was
in
a
that.
Little, let's see, weren't you involved, or were you involved? I remember you were, so I might be wrong on this, but the Visual Studio extensions for WSS. Yeah.
BusyWiz.
The first dev tools from Microsoft for SharePoint. Weren't
Yeah.
Don't we
yeah,
have you to
exactly.
blame? I'm sorry. Weren't you involved in that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was actually started by another guy who was actually on the SharePoint designer team, strangely enough. A guy called Alex Malik, who's a friend of mine, who you probably have seen it, you know, met before. But so he started it as kind of a Skunkworks project to get some tooling extensions into Visual Studio. And so it was never really a fully, I don't know what the right word to use is here, but, you know, like it wasn't like a fully official thing until it became something. And so we found people with spare resources to work on stuff or spare time, I should say, for the most part, and got them to build it out. And when Alex left the team, he left SharePoint Designer and went to the IE team to go work on what was going into Windows 8 eventually. He handed it over to me and I started looking after it. But yeah, it was, you know, it was kind of it was either a love or a hate thing with VisiWiz, and there were loads of great community grown tools. But I actually think it's kind of one of those projects that needed to happen because it sort of scared the Visual Studio guys into doing something better in many regards. I don't know if scared's the right word, but it pushed SharePoint and it pushed the Visual Studio team to go and build something properly and better for the community. And so that's when I started working with Mike Morton and the guys in Visual Studio and on the what became the tooling that you now get in Visual Studio.
Right.
And those guys, you know, they were pretty new to SharePoint. They didn't really know much about SharePoint. So I sat with them a bunch and taught them about WSPs and features and how everything worked. And they looked awfully confused for a fairly long time, but now they're absolutely smashing it. And they laid a great foundation for the tools that we got today. But so those tools kind of had their history and their bedding and the their roots, I should say, in VisiWiz.
I remember those days. I mean, that was I was fortunate, I guess, for a little while to be involved in the something called Metro at the time. Not the Metro that everyone else probably is thinking of, but a lot of people now recognize it as something called Ignite. The pre-training for ISVs and Microsoft internal and TAP customers. I remember Mike Morton's team it was a real education process for them around what SharePoint is. And they're like, we're doing it like this. Like, that's not how the product works. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And like, oh, well, tell us how it works. And you tell us. And I still think that team was probably the best example of acting on feedback from the community when they realized that they were doing something, the community had a better idea around something. I always tell people the story. I never forget the night that after a class one time that we did, Mike's team was in the back watching to see what everybody's reaction was going to be the first time they saw the tools. And right after that, Mike's like, we got something we want to show you. We got an idea. Can we kind of whiteboard this whole thing out? Mm. So we went in another room. We got a bunch of pizza. We got a bunch of beverages. I guess
impromptu SharePoint.
Exactly. Yeah. Creative thinking beverages is what we like to call it. And we whiteboarded it out, and it ended up 2 weeks later, he's like, hey, check out this build. And it was an internal build, but it was basically, if you go into the dev tools, you right click on the project in the solution explorer and say properties, go to the SharePoint tab, and the part where you can control what happens when you do an F5 or deployment and how it had those different steps. That was basically, you know, they had the framework for that. And then we said, well, if you're going to do this, why don't you let us control what those pieces are? And then those CKS dev guys went ballistic and added a bunch of additional capabilities. It was really cool to see that kind of reaction from it. So it was very, very slick.
Yeah. No, they're very, like, Mike's a great guy and a very receptive team, and that's kind of how they roll. So, it was really, really fun working with them. And, you know, the first release that came out for, I can't remember what release of Visual Studio it was now, but it was first, you know, SharePoint 2010. And the tools, when they first came out, everybody was like, oh, yeah, it's great you've got tools, but they really fall short, you know. But there was so much groundwork to do that, you know, we had a laundry list of, like, you know, 100 or 200 things long that we wanted to get into those tools, or that they wanted to get into those tools. And we had to cut this short, you know, had to cut it like 40 or 50 or something like that, just because of the amount of time and people that we had to do it. And so the first release was really, really all the plumbing and the groundwork for getting them done. But now they're really smashing it and getting new stuff out, and they're continuing to build on that platform. So that was a really fun project and great to see some decent tooling come to SharePoint finally.
Yeah, I remember teaching in those days was fun because it was SharePoint 2007. It was, you know, we didn't really have any real tools. We had a couple community things that were all kind of equally used as much as each other.
It was very much a sort of a religious thing, right? Yeah. Were you this or that kind of guy in terms of the tools?
Are you a WSP builder guy? Are you an STS dev guy? Are you a Visual Studio, VisiWiz? Are you that kind of guy? It was all these different, girl as well. So it really depended on what you were using. But then when SharePoint 2010 came out and we started doing classes and would show people the dev tools, you could tell without even asking the question, you could tell the people in the class who had done SharePoint 2007 development and ones that were brand new coming from ASP.NET, because ASP.NET guys looked at the tooling and were like, yeah, this is what we expect. The Visual Studios guys are going, oh my God, this is so much nicer.
You're so much more thankful when you've just been beaten to a pulp, you know?
So I was like, you people that are coming from ASP.NET, you have no idea how bad we had it. They're like, this is okay. Just go to the next slide.
You're just one deployment away from a broken farm. Yeah.
I don't think that's changed.
Some things never change, I guess. So I spent some time on the SharePoint engineering team, worked on the Visual Studio tooling, virtual lists, what became, external content types, and the work with BCS and that team. I worked on the CSOM, sandbox solutions, getting SharePoint to run on Windows 7, a whole bunch of things while I was on that team. It was really, really fascinating to watch how a piece of software like that gets built and the internals of Microsoft engineering teams. And, it's one thing people give Microsoft a lot of grief, but I think you spend a month watching that and then you're suddenly in awe of how it actually ever works with something that complicated.
Yeah, it's always been something that I thought that it would always help. You know, in one sense, is it a trade secret or something you don't want your competitors to know about or something? Because then you could, be open to criticism. But I've always found like one of the most curious things to me is like the business of software and the business of SharePoint. Like, how is it actually built? And, I'm sure that some people would be like, they'd equate it to like, the hot dog factory or something. You don't want to see this or see the output product. But, there's good reasons for it. And I remember sitting in your office one day and you were explaining to me how like you can read the build numbers and you can understand that there's logic behind the build numbers. It's not just a new number every day. It's fascinating. Yeah. It's something that, I'd love to see Microsoft talk about publicly, but I can understand why they wouldn't want to do that for, you don't want to open it up too much and just be like, look, this is a commercial product, da da da. But
yeah, you don't want to show your ugly bits too often.
No. Yeah. So you're not there anymore though. You left a little while ago, right?
Yeah, I did. So, after the SharePoint engineering team, I went to the SharePoint marketing team to get a little bit more of that insight onto the business of SharePoint, not just how it's sort of the engineering of SharePoint. And so I went and joined the marketing team. I was a technical product manager there for a few years. And I worked on developer audience, technical marketing. I worked on the SharePoint conference on a few of those. Helping with running and putting that show together, a lot of that different stuff, dealing with analysts and press and launching products from a marketing and technical marketing point of view, and worked on a lot of the demo stuff that you saw in keynotes and things like that to get SharePoint launched. And so that was kind of the flip side from engineering. That was quite a 180, going from seeing how it was built to seeing how it was sold. And the two are very, very separate. Like it's something gets built and marketing has to go figure out how to make a business of it. And so that was absolutely fascinating. But then, yeah, I left Microsoft in at the beginning of November 2011 now. So almost, you know, not quite almost, but coming up 1.5 years, mm-hmm. roughly. And so I left Microsoft to go and start the Bellevue office, or the what we call the Seattle office of a company called Provoke Solutions, which is a Microsoft development house, you know, a systems integrator, or SI, as some people might refer to it. That's actually headquartered in New Zealand, so where I'm from. And they approached me, and we actually, all the founders and the directors and so forth, we all used to work together in my first job out of university. And so they said, do you want to, you know, come and start the US operations for us? And so I left Microsoft November the 1st, 2011 was my first day with Provoke. And so set up shop in Bellevue. And we're a software development shop. We go build custom software for people on pretty much 100% on the Microsoft stack. And we pretty much do everything except Dynamics. So roughly sort of half our time is spent doing SharePoint work. 40% is doing mostly Azure work. And the other 10% is kind of the catch-all bucket of everything else that includes things
Minecraft.
Like, Minecraft. No, I've never actually gotten into Minecraft. It's something I need to work on. But like Windows Phone, those sorts of things. So, but you know, we spend a lot of time on SharePoint, obviously.
Yeah, very cool.
I run that office and look after a little team that we have there.
So I was going to ask you the next question: like, what's your day to day look like? I mean, what is it? I know you're on the West Coast, so you're always sending me funny things when I'm sound asleep, and I'm always responding to you when you're sound asleep. So, like, what does your day to day kind of look like?
Yeah. So, you know, running a small business is, you know, if you've never done it before, there's a lot of stuff that you don't really have an appreciation for until you get into it. Just all the administrivia and the, running the books and budgeting and in a consulting business, I've got to deal with, you know, figuring out what our pipeline of work looks like, making sure we've got that stocked, making sure we've got the resources to deliver on that work, keeping a hand in different important customers. So I do some account management. But then there's also my technical side, which it's kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde for me. Like, I've got this sort of business side that I need to be, but I also have this technical side that I can't not be. Mm-hmm. And so I get my sticky beak into a bunch of different projects, and I'm sure it pisses them off. But I work out with various teams on what we're going to build and how we're going to build it, and run a little what we call the SharePoint Council, which is kind of an internal group of the SharePoint leaders in our company. Mm-hmm. And we talk about what we're doing with SharePoint and how we can change it and how we can do better and things like that. So, and then I code from time to time as well. And I have some side projects that I work on after hours that keep me up late.
I was going to ask you about that, because not many people, I bet most people are not familiar with it, but those of us who are travelers and are on the Microsoft stack are probably definitely using it. Don't you have a little Windows Phone or Windows 8 app that's become fairly popular, especially with the travelers in us?
Yeah. So while I was at Microsoft, actually, I switched to Windows Phone when it first came out. I was an iPhone user, and I decided I actually held out a long time before I switched from iPhone to Windows Phone. Everybody else around me at Microsoft was Windows Phone, but I was kind of like the last person in the office with an iPhone. And so I was getting a fair amount of grief. And so I finally switched to Windows Phone. And I was doing a ton of travel and just noticed that one of the first apps I really missed was a TripIt app. So for those who don't know, that TripIt.com is this really cool online service where you can organize all your travel plans and itinerary, and you just forward the PDF you get from the travel agent or the airline or whatever, and they parse it all out and put it all online for you. And it's a really, really cool service. But they have an official app for BlackBerry, iPhone, and Android at the time, but not on Windows Phone. And so that was the first app that I really missed. And so I started I started just writing a little app for my own personal use, just to see what it was like to build a Windows Phone app. And I think I remember showing you, and you were like, "Damn, I need that! Like, I'm a Tripit user, and that's one of the apps I miss on Windows Phone. So could I get that?" And really, the only way to share apps on Windows Phone is to put them in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't just give you an app unless you've got a developer unlocked phone and that sort of thing. So I sort of scrubbed it up, and it was like ultra basic V1, and stuck it in the store. And it was called My Trips, and it's just a Windows Phone client for Tripit. And things have kind of spiraled out of control from there. And I think I'm up to version 5.2 now, on Windows Phone, Windows Phone 7 and 8. And then I'm also building one for Windows 8 as well. But that's kind of my after hours job. I spend time in the evenings working on that after the kids have gone to bed. And it's my pet project that keeps me coding more often than I get to during the day. And I get to, you know, research all sorts of different topics and fiddle around with that. So that's a really fun project, and it's just, you know, keeps my coding skills up.
Yeah, that's an app that I absolutely loved. And I mean, honestly, I was on Windows Phone for 2.5 years, and I switched earlier this year, I guess in March, I switched back to iOS and an iPhone 5. And I'll tell you, I've got the Tripit official app, and I can't stand it. I miss my Tripit. I miss my trips. I miss it so bad.
it's funny, because you're not the first person that said, "Are you going to do an iPhone version of my trips?" I don't know if I can bring myself to it just yet. Tripit have an app, so at least you're not completely stuck and isolated. But you know, maybe one day. I don't know. Maybe I want to try out some Mono development and give it a shot.
There you go. Yeah. Or Kickstarter. There you go. Get somebody to give you the incentive to get going on it.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. So I think that gives everybody a pretty comprehensive understanding of, you know, what our backgrounds are and what we do today and things like that. So why don't we wrap this up and call us an episode 2, and I look forward to, you know, recording the next one with you and moving on to some real juicy topics. These first couple of episodes have mostly been about introducing the pod show and then talking a little bit about who we are. So people have kind of got a basis to move on to the real guts of this series, which is going to be, you know, all about the Microsoft cloud related technologies and things like that. So yeah, any final remarks you got there, AC?
No. I mean, like you said, I'm you know, we got the intros out of the way, and you know, for most people, you know, if you've listened all the way through the intros, I get the whole goal of these two things was so that, you know, CJ and I had something to point back to, either in future episodes, or we could say, yeah, you used to do this, go back to listen to episode 1 or episode 2. You can find out a little bit more about my background or CJ's background, or episode 1 to find out more about what the podcast is all about. It's really just, it's selfishly a place for us to point back to what the show's about. So it's another one of the reasons why we wanted to go live with a handful of shows at the beginning and not try and stream them out, so that, you know, if you know us, then, you know, maybe some of our friends might have learned something here from this one. But for the most part, you know, it's now we get to get into the content.
If you have a question for us, go to mscloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 file and provide a link so we can play the question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at mscloudshow.com. We also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.